Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
Monday evening, while we met here for our church conference in this space, and we celebrated the ministry of our church, and we planned for the ministry of the year ahead, the grand jury in Missouri released its decision about the shooting case of 18-year-old Michael Brown back in August. The jury decided not to indict Officer Darren Wilson, who was charged with the shooting. And as could have been anticipated, and I'm sure was anticipated, a number of protests broke out, not only in Ferguson, but around the country. Some peaceful, some not so much, as people fueled by the sense of injustice and pain and brokenness from this decision, whether we can understand legally where it comes from or not, expressed that sense of longing for justice. How long, oh God, before we see justice for people regardless of the color of their skin? That same night, the church where Michael Brown's family or members and attend, where his father had been baptized just a little while ago, that same church was burned to the ground. It was claimed that this was part of the rioting and looting and random, but it was almost 3 full miles from the center of where the protesting was taking place. And the pastor feels that his church was targeted because of its connection with the Brown family. How long, O God, before we see justice, before we see compassion, before we see healing? Tomorrow, December 1st, is World AIDS Day, a day that we recognize and commit again to fighting this global pandemic. It has been 33 years, I had to look it up and I don't quite believe it, 33 years since the United States CDC recognized the HIV virus and AIDS as diseases. 33 years, and in that time more than 36 million people have died of AIDS around the world, and there are another about the same number, about 36 million people infected and living with HIV or AIDS. How long, oh God, before we see healing, before we see prevention, before we see enough access to the medical care that is available, that is possible for people to prevent or live normal life expectancies with HIV and AIDS? How long? There are all of these moments in our lives when we ask how long, comparatively trivial, but something for me. I ask myself, how long are we going to do this thing the day after Thanksgiving where we trample each other for televisions and good sales, right? I mean, it's bizarre. This is a new phenomenon, but every year I think this is going to be the time when it ends, right? How long? How long, oh God, until we let love and gratitude fill our lives and the way we treat one another? How long will this particular part of our society run its course? The Advent season is a time for engaging that question. How long, oh God? How long will we be in this mess, whatever this mess is? It's a time for remembering that this is a holy and a sacred question. Those voices crying for justice around our country are asking a holy and sacred question. How long before we understand that Black lives matter? How long before we understand that all people are sacred? How long before we see justice? Those voices crying out for care, for treatment in the medical community are asking a sacred question. How long before we are able to give people access to the resources that we've developed, that we know exist? There is a medicine that can prevent the transmission and the contact of infection of HIV. If you take this medicine every single day, there's a 99 to 100% success rate at preventing a person getting HIV. How long before that's available? The way Tylenol is available. Why not? How long? How long must we sit? Must we watch one another suffer? The psalmists and the Hebrew Bible prophets ask this question a lot of God. How long must your people suffer, O God? The people of Israel who are oppressed, who are living in violence, who are living lives separated from you and one another, how long must we live like this? And they link this question, this how long, to humanity's brokenness, to humanity's sin or separation from God, or however we want to put language to that, to something about us. And we can kind of see that, especially in instances of violence or human injustice. We don't see it in disease or natural disaster, that those are not caused by human sin or human action, but in the prolonged treatment or prolonged justice and healing unfolding, that's sometimes on us too. That's sometimes about the distribution of resources, a more or less just distribution of resources to respond to natural disaster and illness. But the psalmists and the prophets understand that there is something of our doing in a lot of the pain and suffering and violence that the people of Israel face and that we face today. Where I think we might challenge or critique them is in the assumption then that the suffering, the injustice, the pain, the prolonged wait is God's punishment for the things that we have done. And there's that nuance we heard in the passage from Isaiah, that nuance of we are far from you because you are far from us because we are far from you. It's kind of this chicken and the egg thing, this sense that we have become separate from you. And it's kind of like any relationship. You can kind of look back and say who said what or did what, but we have mutually become separated from each other. How long will we stay separated from one another? Whereas the psalmist says, let your face shine. Let us see you so that we might be saved. This sense that being saved, being seen, and seeing God are linked together. Not that God is in the punishment, in that sense of suffering by creating it or prolonging it, but that there is something in us that has distanced us so from God and from one another. Advent is the season for this question, for clearing away the chaos and the clutter that we put on the Christmas season. And we put a lot of chaos and clutter on the Christmas season. That is not an Advent hymn we just sang, come and find the quiet center, but I think it should be one. And it's kind of my mantra for the season of Advent, to be present in the moment, in the midst of that chaos, to find the little places of silence that claims us, that calls us, that centers us, in the midst of a world that is hurting, a world that is broken, a world that we look at and say, how long? Whether it's how long will we fight over digital cameras, or how long will we struggle to find interpersonal, interracial justice, or how long will we work and labor as one another suffers with any disease, while we try to find cures and preventions and then make those available. These questions of how long are sacred. They are holy. And they become part of the worry that presses around us instead of part of the sitting in the longing for God. That is what Advent is about, is to be present in the midst of that longing for God. To know that these questions that we have heard lifted up in the scriptures this morning and that we see lifted up in the world around us, these are the most sacred of all questions. Where are you, God? When will you be here? When will it get easier or better or more just or more true? When will we be close to you like we once were or like we know we should be? The psalmists, the prophets, the story of the incarnation reminds us that the longing for God is natural, that sense of it things not being quite right is perfectly normal and expected and part of the human experience, and that to yearn for the better, to yearn for God's presence in us and through us is sacred. Not to push that aside as if it were the clutter, but to clear away the rest so that we can be like the prophets, like the psalmists, like the people of first century Judea waiting with expectation, yes, with longing, with hope. We know, the psalmist says, your face will shine. We know you're there. May it shine, let it shine, that we might be saved. How long? The season of Advent is 4 weeks. We wait for God much longer than that. We wait for God our whole lives, but this is a time, this is our time each year to practice, to focus, to center that waiting, to ground that waiting in a sense of God's presence with us, in knowing that the longing is holy, the waiting is holy, and God's incarnation is with us and is coming to us. May the stillness, may the waiting, may the longing draw us closer so that we might see God's face shine